You're listening to ESPN 97.5, your home for sports. Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mount Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're all present and accounted for. So hopefully, wherever you go in the next 3 hours, you will take us along for the ride as we appreciate you being suspects on the show. Without further ado, fellas, what's up? What's going on?
What up, what up, what up?
What happened,
all
going
the,
on?
What happened to all the nice weather? It's like they're talking about hailstorms tonight.
It's
and tornadoes
to get really ugly, like overnight into the early morning tomorrow.
Like they're saying up in Cut and Shoot, we're going to get tornadoes. They're different than a tornado. They're less sophisticated. They just pretty much just tear up trailers and leave. It's not like, you know, like tornadoes will, they don't have a MO, but tornadoes, they're pretty much just after trailers. So that's what, I think that's what we're going to get up there. But I'm not ready for, I don't want to be caught going home from the Rockets in a hailstorm. Messed up my pretty new car.
I think you'll be all right. I think it's supposed to be starting with light rain. And because I was looking, because I was always concerned when Lisa leaves the house at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to hit, there's supposed to be rain, and then it's supposed to really hit about 4 a.m. and be like real severe until I think like 7 a.m. And then there's like a gap, and then it's supposed to be clear tomorrow afternoon.
Can't have that. It's got to be, yeah, it's got to be out by 7 because I got mulch coming on the way. Can't have a mulch sitting on the driveway getting rained on. That's a no-no. Not having that.
Because it's colored and it will dye the cement? Or yeah, I'm not, yeah.
No, just because it'll wash away. I don't, plus it's hard to shovel. Because I don't get mulch. I get like what's called a bed mix. And it'll turn to mud, basically. I don't need that. That's too much for me. No, thank you.
Well, let's talk, speaking of that, let's talk about Let's Not Mess With Mother Nature guy.
Okay.
Because last night, I went for a run.
Uh-oh.
And I'm out in the driveway with Taylor having a rider scooter, and I get text from Nick with video, and I thought, uh-oh. And then I look and see that this little tree cutting project looked more like a long process based on what was going on in Nick's yard.
We made a lot of progress, though. We pretty much got all the debris and the branches that we needed to remove, especially the big branch that broke and almost fell on our building.
Oh, that's good. You found some men to come out and help you?
Yeah, that would be my brother and his best friend.
Oh, that's good. Did you make them lemonade?
I did not. I helped with the process, sir. Don't think I just stood there and watched and held the camera the entire time.
I mean, I feel like you were just there and you're a little, you had an apron on.
So I pull
some
up
cookies and some lemonade.
Stole it from Joel Embiid. The process. It what looked like it should be a one night thing. When you showed me the video, I was like, God, are you gonna finish by dark?
Nick's out there with his hands on his hips. You fellas be careful. I don't want y'all to get hurt.
Well, because I'm listening to the voices and I'm so thinking, I'm listening for Barry's voice. Like, did he break down and bring his chainsaw and help? Then all I hear is either your brother or his buddy go, man, I'll tell you one thing, after looking at this, don't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah, don't bleep with Mother Nature, yeah. He said. Yeah, well, I mean, they did a lot. They did a really good job. It took them a while. It's so funny that we always give crap to Barry. Now my brother's thinking about starting his own landscaping business. So this was like a good experience for him and his buddy who plans on starting this business. But anyway, it was so funny because when I pull up and literally they're dealing with the big branch. And this big branch is basically forks out into two smaller branches, which are still pretty big. And my brother's literally cutting it down, and this branch is literally about to land on Russell. Like, it's coming right for Russell. Now, Russell's a skinny dude. He's probably 145 pounds, and my brother literally thought his best friend is is dead. Like, he's about to die.
Yeah, lesson one, when you cut down a tree, you have to be on the lookout for other people. Yeah. It's not like in the cartoons where it just, like, hits them a few times and that's hammers them into the ground and then they're okay.
Well, look, that's why I had no business doing it.
Okay.
And well, based on your situation, it's not just people on the ground. You also got to be worried with neighbors up close. If you knock something, knock into something, yeah, knock down something, you know they're going to come on, knocking on your door.
It was already laying on the fence in the backyard, which was shared by us and the neighbor. So, yeah, I totally get that. That was my number one fear, honestly. It was not necessarily the tree damage. It was, like, the damage surrounding. So, but anyway, this branch falls down, and it literally, the fork of two branches literally miss Russell. A big branch on either side of him, and as it lands to
so it's a V shape.
Yeah, it's a V shape,
and the V, he's in the middle of the V.
Yeah, and it de-pantses him.
What?
No way!
I promise you, there's nothing but boxers on Russell at this point.
What is he?
There's no video.
Okay, first of all,
we didn't know this was gonna happen.
Couple questions. One, what kind of pants is he wearing that a tree branch would? Was he wearing sweatpants?
That's what it looked like to me.
Two, how long did you stare?
I didn't know where you were
did
going.
Did you look for a long time?
I did not.
Were you meat gazing or were you just oh my God, no. Pull your pants up, Russell.
My brother Shady almost fell. Like he literally took three steps back. And I told you guys that my brother's much bigger than I am. He fell on the ground. He from laughter. We all laughed. It was a funny situation.
You know that dude's got an angel on his shoulder.
He literally almost died. I'm not even. This is a true story.
That's what's hilarious is we were laughing about it and he almost died.
Yeah.
Was he laughing or was
he was
mad?
Laughing. Everybody was hilarious.
But at the time, he had to be screaming. You see a branch on either side.
But he wasn't. He didn't see. Like the thing is, when the branch fell on him, he didn't know the branch was coming his way.
Oh, he
like,
was looking the other
had
way.
Had he looked, he probably would have moved and got hit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he didn't even know the branch was coming his way.
Yeah, these guys are gonna. They'll make it about a month before they kill someone or get sued. This is gonna be an awful business.
They use this electric chainsaw that costs $40.
Yep. Nope.
That lasted 3.5 minutes, and then they got this bigger, halfway decent one, and that's kind of doing the job.
Oh, well, good for them and their long/death business.
I definitely
was
not gonna do it.
No? You don't think you could? So after watching them, you don't feel like you could have done what those men did?
Apparently, you have to be licensed.
No. Not if the tree's in your yard. And
I don't think
And you have your own chainsaw.
No, if you're a company, you have to be licensed to climb a tree.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to, because you have to cut from the top down.
I told y'all what happened to me.
There's a particular license for that.
Yeah. I told y'all what happened to me. My old lawn guy brought in a third party without telling me, and the dude went up the tree. And didn't, they used the ties, a rope around the trunk of the tree and everything so the ladder doesn't fall. And the dude fell off the ladder. And then next thing you know, I'm getting calls and texts from my lawn guy going, I'm at the hospital and I'm taking I go, who's so-and-so? Oh, we hired him to trim your trees. So then he starts saying, we could sue. I'm like, wait, what? I didn't hire anybody. So I had to get my buddies that were lawyers involved and everything like that because they thought that I was going to pay his medical bills. I was like, I didn't hire this dude.
I'm not paying your medical bills. I think you got to be insured and licensed if
I'm
not mistaken.
For sure insurance.
So this was just them helping. This is just us doing it on our own, you know?
Sure. Are they going to get insured and licensed to chop down trees?
I don't think they're going to do trees.
Let me tell you, I was going to say, that's a whole different, I was telling Tyler, I had a 70-foot pine tree in my backyard that had pine beetles that was basically killing the tree that I had to have taken down. And those dudes are so skilled. This dude just boop, 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 boop. It's just straight up 70 feet, cuts the top off, ties a rope to it, cuts it off, hangs it down, just drops down about 20 feet, does it again. They had a 70-foot pine tree down in less than 10 minutes.
And you know
minutes.
What? That guy should get paid because that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
That's dangerous, man. And my brother and Russell, they both realized that might not be what they're trying to do. You know what I mean? This was a good experience in the fact that this may not be for you. You know what I mean? You can't, it's not for everybody.
Well, and the manpower that you guys have, while one's cutting, the other one should have some kind of rope around the branch that's being cut just to try and avoid.
Yeah, there was no rope of any sort.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was an accident waiting to happen.
Or maybe there was, and I just didn't notice it. I didn't see it.
Well, you had the lemonade.
Yeah, I was holding the lemonade mixed with a little vodka. Just that watching the whole situation.
Be honest. You also had a stand out front going,
looking
if I'm going to do
guys.
This with the lemonade, I might as well sell a couple glasses.
It's so funny because I was supposed to go over to my sister's house and I said, no, I can't. I'm going to help my brothers with the backyard. And she calls. She's like, man, Nick is not doing anything right now. She said the exact same thing you guys are saying right now. But I was helping. I was helping.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I had to wrap up all that debris. They won't take up the branches if you don't tie it up with yarn.
Oh, yarn?
Yarn?
Or string or whatever. They called it yarn.
Who?
They did.
Rope?
Your yard crew called it yarn?
Yeah, they bought some yarn.
Stop it.
You make sweaters with yarn. Okay. You don't tie up.
They
don't
called
tie
it. They called
sticks.
It that. Look, that's why I have no business doing this stuff. Okay, Barry, you've already pointed this out
with yarn.
I should have made your ass come out because I guarantee you, you were like, man, I'm offering.
I offered to come do it,
and then you would have immediately regretted it because it's
a
lot of work.
But you crapped on him, so he changed
his mind.
Do you realize
I have probably fallen about 7 trees? Oh my!
Like you have fallen
my
or is the tree?
No, I've fallen them. I've gone out and cut them down myself, chopped them up, put them out.
Is that a lawn and garden expression?
Yeah, like you fell a tree. You fall a tree.
I didn't know that. So
yeah.
But they got a whole bunch of firewood out of it. So
I had to double check. I'm pretty sure that's what you call it. Falling a tree.
I was assuming that you, being the yard and lawn and garden expert, that was a term.
Yeah, felling a tree, falling a tree, felling a tree, same thing. Felling a tree. That's what they call it. It's a fancy word for chopping a tree now. But yeah, I've done like 7 of them. I told you. That's why I said I would have helped you. I have an axe. I have 2 different chainsaws. I have a rope. I have a ladder. I have an extension, like an extension pole to put the chainsaw on and chop branches that are 20 feet high. All that.
I can't believe
no one would have almost died.
I don't know, man. That was a dangerous situation.
Was it worth it though?
I mean, I told them, I'm like, look, I finally got the money to do this. You guys don't have to do this. Like, it took me a week to get the ends just to do it, you know? And then they're like, no, we're going to do it. They really wanted to do it.
They did it for free?
No, we're going to pay them, but.
Oh.
But.
I mean, it's your brother. I'm not paying you. I'll pay
my brother and my
I'll pay the guy that almost died.
Yeah, better than paying his medical bills or his funeral expenses.
Yeah, I mean. God bless Russell, because honestly, he did so much work and he almost died. Like, that was a scary situation, but I'm glad it's over, to be honest with you.
So at least it's all cleared up. The whole thing's done.
All the debris is still there. I just have to wait for it. They're only going to take it now. After the weather came through, I think it's the first recycling day of the month, so I think I might have to wait until May.
Heavy trash day.
Yeah.
Heavy trash day is what it's called. Yeah.
Can we now, like, I know we have to go to break, but since now that you have that resolved, can we talk about the shape of your backyard? Because I saw the video, and it's a mess back there. It's awful. I'm embarrassed to even call you a friend.
There's
with
a lot
backyard
of debris
like
right
that.
Now on because
rest
of the
shirt, he's not going to bury a tractor.
Well,
there's too much space. There's too much stuff in there.
Touche.
So
I'm not. Look, it's not going to look that nice. As long as I'm the one taking care of the house, I'm just.
You don't own a weed eater? You can't just weed eat that sumbitch?
No, I don't own a weed eater. I really don't,
bro.
I don't. I don't own one.
It looks like a crack house.
It does not look that bad.
It does. It does. It could look so much better.
So let me guess. Your thought process is because it's fenced in, no one's going to see in, so it doesn't matter
exactly.
What it looks
it's
like.
It's in the backyard. No one's really looking. The front yard should look better than the backyard. That's rule number one. Everybody knows that.
I agree with that.
Boom. The backyard, it doesn't matter.
I didn't say that.
Crack house. I saw the picture. Here's what I want you to do. How about this? How about you go home today? Oh, are you going to the Rockets after here?
Yeah.
Did you get the okay?
I haven't got the okay yet, so we'll see.
But if go home, I want a picture, not a video, not a grainy ass video vertically too, by the way. Who does vertical videos?
Because
the
I wasn't 90 planning
year
on,
old men.
I wasn't planning on like publishing.
We're the
that.
Old ones on the show and you're over here doing holding your phone up vertically doing a video.
Not helping.
No.
A lot of people.
Not helping.
A lot of people still shoot video.
And you know who those
vertically.
People are? They're called a-holes.
No, they're not.
Because then you're on YouTube looking at a video that's tall that doesn't fill
have
up
you
the
forgotten
whole
about Instagram?
Huh? That's a square. That wasn't a square that you sent me. You sent me a vertical rectangle.
Right, but it benefits you to shoot vertically on Instagram, whether it's a picture or a video.
Really?
Yeah, because it's going to chop it up. It's going to chop it down anyway. It's going to
like you're making that up.
Dude, I promise you. I promise you.
I feel like I just got sold a bill of goods on Instagram videos just because you messed up.
People have seen the resume. He's been in enough locker rooms shooting videos.
That's true. I want a picture of the backyard. I want you to tweet it out.
I have on Instagram.
On Instagram, your
at
backyard.
The producer Nick. But before we cleaned it up, you see the tree just laying
on
the bench.
Yeah, but that's just the tree. I'm talking about the whole backyard, the whole crack house experience. I want it all. The unweeded fence lines and the weeds, not the grass. I want all that. I want to see. I want to see it.
You can do it?
I mean, I don't have a whole picture. I'll if I get home tomorrow, maybe, because I may not be back until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning from the game tonight.
Okay.
So
I want to see it.
I'm just looking at the picture, man. I knew that was happening.
First thing I did, I didn't even look. I was like, I don't care about the hippie. I don't care that he almost died. I just want to see his grass and the weeds and the. Oh, he doesn't weed.
He didn't even know it was a video. I sent him the same video I sent you.
Yeah.
And he didn't even play. He's like, ha, 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 funny or something. He didn't even push play on the video.
I didn't know it was a video.
You sent it to me 3 times. I thought it was going to be like in segments. Like no, there was going to be.
I sent it once.
I got it 3 times for some reason.
I don't know.
So. All right. We're just getting started. Hey, you want to join the show? HR&P Lister Line, 713-780-3776. You can call. You can text. You can also hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as it's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Way Back Wednesday. Who's first, Barry?
Yeah.
Barry's first, Joel is second, I'll be last.
And Lucchini right. Falling from the sky. This is it, y'all.
So if you...
This is a good-ass beat.
If you missed the theme, because we actually did it in advance yesterday.
Yeah,
we did.
We did songs from the years that Tiger won the Masters, excluding this year.
Good years.
97, 01, 02, 05.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I did two of each. Did you guys do that, or did you just whatever?
I didn't care. I could have gone with, filled up the whole list with any one of those years.
Yeah.
And I told Nick, this was the first time in a while where, like, I had an overflow of songs. I was, like, going through weeding out songs that I wanted to use, but I remembered, like, Nick screwed me on one in the past, so I didn't use it again. Because there were different versions of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My bad on that.
Yeah, so I was like, we're going to take risk out of the equation, and we're just going to go with the ones that we know were steadfast.
But totally, in those 4 years, there was plenty of music.
Do what?
In those 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
That really, really good music.
Yeah. 97 was a good year
no
for hip-hop.
Question.
Really yep. good year for hip-hop.
Really good year for R. Kelly, too. He was all over that Billboard.
I had to tell
him. He just gave his secret away. He just went to the Billboard charts.
Well, I had to talk him out of it. He was going to use R. Kelly songs. And I was like, bro, you cannot.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he had 2 on his list initially.
Nope.
And I was like, Nick,
not
you
true.
Cannot play that. He goes, well, Michael Jackson had I would do that, and then I'll have R. Kelly. I was like, bro, you can't do any of that. Like, what is your is the theme of your Sandusky? Like, you can't do that.
Both were on the 97 Billboard.
Yeah.
Both were not an option for my list. 100%.
You knew they were there. Up. They were looking you in the face.
I mean, you were
and,
asking
and
me.
And honestly, which, Joel, you weren't looking up any Billboards, be honest.
I didn't go to Billboards, no.
What did you do? Songs were in 97?
I honestly Googled like what I wanted. So I Googled like R&B hip-hop songs from 1997. And then
and
I
then
just
the
changed
Billboard
the year.
Came up.
No, it didn't. There were other ones. But then, regardless, I would just change the year and just keep popping in different dates. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So I knew one of my songs... was that year. That's the only song. That's literally the only song I know.
That's pretty impressive.
That's from 97, and that was Hypnotize by Biggie. That's the only song I know. I don't know why I know the year that was released.
That's the year he was died. That's the year he died, right?
Maybe, but I think it's just really? Because of Way Back Wednesday, because
sure
I put it on my
I'm
list
sure it was
so
97.
Much. Like, I'm sure Joel could tell you when Fat Pat's Top Drop was released.
Nope.
94?
I just know it was released in time for me to use it on every list possible.
98 or whatever.
Yeah,
But that's the only one I remembered. So, yeah, and we all... In some form or fashion. Like, there's no way I remembered, 2001, what songs were out. I just wish Party in the USA was an option.
I saw that.
Love that song, man.
Like, you knew it was going to be a good day because you were jamming Party in the USA?
Best song ever.
Oh.
Ever in the history of songs, there's no better song than... If you can't smile and be happy and love America and Jay-Z and Miley Cyrus and listen to a song, something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. It's a that's the song for every person.
It really
There's
is.
Something in there for every person.
Okay.
Did you say it really isn't?
No.
I'm with you. I mean, I like it's not a bad song, but I'm not going to like jam it.
Best song ever.
I did find out when with our road trip to Dallas, too. AJ's in that club, too. AJ at the jukebox at the bar we went to was he's like, I'm all about T Swifty and
oh yeah.
Yeah, he was cranking out some
1989.
Some chicky tunes.
One of the best albums that's been released in the last 10 years.
Flat ass.
Yeah, yeah, they're both true. Miley and T Swift.
Didn't Miley somebody came out and was like, oh, nice ass on Miley, and she was like, maybe you should be paying attention to something else. I don't remember, like somebody said she had a nice ass.
Maybe she got
she'd been doing squats.
Or maybe she got some surgery.
I was going to say, maybe she went the Holly Saunders route.
Because you could totally do that now.
Yeah.
So.
Anniversary day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Need to get that out of the way and give peeps the information. But happy 6th anniversary.
On this day in 2000, what, 12?
Well, 13. You're a math major. So we'll leave that out.
Hey, I was guessing.
6-year anniversary.
Yep. So that would be 2019.
Minus six.
Give him a minute. We'll be back.
Bam.
We'll be back after this. While Nick counts backwards 6 years. Yeah, 2013 was the... I did an open mic at a Mexican food restaurant that they shut down the next day. So that'll tell you how good my set went. That they were like, that was so awful. We're never going to have anything back, including food. It was that bad. No, actually, I did pretty good. But yeah, it was 6 years ago after waiting 30 years to decide to do it. So
I was going to say, any regrets, or is the only regret you didn't do it sooner?
The only regret is that I waited. I wish I would have started in my 20s, just because at 38, you feel like even at 44, that's how old I am now. I feel like my feeling is that like comedy is a young man's game. And so you feel kind of out of touch and like you have to hurry up and do something. I don't have the luxury of being 24 and, you know, with another 50 years or not 50 years, but another, you know, 30, 40 years left to do comedy and try to, quote, make it. So
how difficult was it to walk away from your established career?
Well, I did it because I was laid off.
Okay.
So it was the first time I got laid off, and I was I think I told this story where I was on Adderall and it made me depressed. And so I was like, I had nothing going on. I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to do this. Maybe this will make me happy. And so I went, and John Wesley gave me some advice when I first started. He was like, just go to open mics for like 6 weeks and watch. Don't go up. Don't do any jokes. Just go home and write and then go to open mics and watch. And I did that for 6 weeks and I ended up going up and I did well and got it recorded and I'll never release it. Because you look back and it's like anything,
you
right?
You still
like,
got it?
Oh, yeah.
You can use that as motivation too, right?
I still have the original set that I did, yeah. In fact, I still use a joke from that set in my current set 6 years later. But I plan on putting that joke on the album just because I want it to be, since it was the first joke I ever did. It's obviously changed because I'm a better...
With that audio?
Huh?
With that audio?
No, I mean just the joke itself. It's gotten better. I've rewrote it and all that, so...
It would be kind of cool, though, like when you do, you know, they do excerpts or between bits.
Oh, just like to have the original version.
That's when I first started comedy.
I could put that as the last track, like my first open mic ever. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I will do that.
All right, we're a half hour into the show. It's a 3-hour extravaganza. You can be a part of it. 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number because it's our HR&P listener line. And of course, if you're really overzealous, you can tweet us and we'll be participating throughout the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. We know some of you like to get out and travel, like Barry when he's doing comedy and he's on the road. And you know what? A lot of us like to get out and get out of town every now and then. And you know what? Sometimes you have problems getting a hotel room. Well, I got a suggestion for you. It's called BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and extended these discounts to you. All you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, your dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you could be paying a lot more for with other sites and other people. Save your money, book your hotels through besthotelrates.com, top-notch customer service. They will back up your reservations. You're going to stay safe and secure without taking any chances. I'm telling you guys, we recommend this all across ESPN 97.5. BestHotelRates.com, where you can start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, BestHotelRates.com.
Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, Party in the USA was our jam on the patrol base in Afghanistan. Just a bunch of Marines rocking out to Miley Cyrus.
Now, that's cool.
That's funny.
That would be awesome to see, right? Just big,
like a video of it or something?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. You know what? I bet you do something like that online.
Probably. I always think back to where the cop that did Shake the Haters Off. Did you ever see that one? When Taylor Swift released Shake the Haters Off.
I think I vaguely remember it.
This cop drove around in his patrol car, lip syncing it and dancing. And it was actually pretty funny because it was like, oh, okay, that's different. Are you wearing a police? Oh, I kept looking over at your shirt and I kept thinking, is that a badge? Like, it looks like a policeman's badge. No. It's a Milwaukee Bucks logo, but I was like, are you wearing a sheriff's polo? What is that?
Nope. We had to do a video. I was telling Nick, we had to do a video with Granato today, so we knew that there would be no dressing up.
Oh, okay. Is that the deal
with
Granato?
He rolled in with the t-shirt and jeans, and so I kind of was prepared for it.
Well, he's a radio guy.
He is a pro, too. He comes in, and it's right before we're supposed to start, and it is just boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. Granato don't mess around, dude.
The way he retains information and can spew it out, it's impressive.
Yeah. I feel like him and Charlie both, like, there's no way I would ever do Stump Barry. Like, Charlie does Stump Charlie on this Tuesday
and
show.
And it's hard.
Yeah. Like, somebody finally got him. But I'm like, that dude is just a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. And I'm over here trying to Google as fast as I can mid-conversation. That dude, no. Yeah, there's guys like that. I can't retain anything. I couldn't even tell you. I have to make notes while I watch a Rocket game for the next day because I'll forget
that all day.
Okay. Well, that was, I guess that was
deserved.
I've
been dying to take my first jab at you after that first segment. My only opportunity probably for the remainder of the show.
I knew you wouldn't forget. You gals have a great memory.
Have you guys heard about, speaking of memory and information and quizzes, you know, being able to stump somebody? This guy that's a sports gambler is on Jeopardy right now, and he is killing it.
He's still on?
He's still on.
Oh, wow.
So he's already made the Hall of Fame based on how long he's been on the show. But it was like Ken Jennings was the guy that won like 2 point some million by the time it was all said and done, but it took him a long time. This guy, James Holzhauer, 34-year-old professional sports gambler from Vegas, has now won over $500,000, and he's done it in like a quarter of the time.
Wow.
So he's continuing to roll, and people are like marveling at the fact that they don't know if anybody can get him. But they said they have a Twitter understanding of what the window is for Jeopardy spoilers. People don't want to be spoiled to see if they can be as smart as him or stump him. But like they said, he just keeps rolling, and because he's an aggressive bettor, that he constantly is do the daily doubles and throwing more, you know, betting on himself, and he's killing it.
Man.
So
that's impressive. Like, I wish I was that smart. There's just no way.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be number smart, but to just have like, because on Jeopardy, there's a lot of random.
I can't watch Jeopardy and not think about White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, yeah.
I just cannot
watch. Rosie Perez, right?
You know what a quince is? Yeah. It's a food that starts with the letter Q, Billy. I'm so full of this useless knowledge. Oh, that's just the best. And then she makes it on Jeopardy. And I can't watch. So I don't watch it. I'm not a Jeopardy guy.
I grew up with it.
Oh, really?
My mom was big game shows. She was on a couple games. Not national game shows. They had like local versions of it.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was also on like Bowling for Dollars. So that'll show you the Midwest aspect.
What?
There was, it was like a game show, but it was bowling with local bowlers for money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like something straight out of Laverne and Shirley.
No question about it.
Yeah, really?
Nothing says Milwaukee like Bowling for Dollars television show. Yeah.
Wow.
And there I was in the audience when they said, is your family here, Angie? And she's like, yeah, there they are right there. And I'm like, hey, I'm on TV.
You thought you'd made it.
And I'm like, you're doing the Dez Bryant thing. Like, get a strike, Mom.
You did the Wakanda forever?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So she was big on Jeopardy. But, I mean, there's so many random categories for this dude to be doing it. And he said his gambling thing says his gambling background says, and his quote was, my theory is you need to be betting very aggressively on daily doubles and in Final Jeopardy. A lot of people bet big when their back's against the wall, but people don't realize. Everyone thinks, oh, I just want to get to Final Jeopardy with some chance of winning. That's not the best strategy. I bet on sports, so therefore I'm more aggressive.
Do they give you, because my knowledge of Jeopardy is literally from White Man Can't Jump. So, but do they give you like, okay, we'll just use the movie as an example. Do they say, all right, here's some of your topics. It's going to be foods that start with the letter Q. Or it's going to be, you know, presidential quotes. Do they give you those? Or do they just say, like, you know, okay, here's 20 topics and five of these might make the show? Or how does it work?
See, I don't know that the intricate details like that. I know that, like, the screening process before you get, like, the approval to be one of the TV contestants are several different rounds. I think it starts at like hotels, you know, and then they kind of bring you, you know, really? And if you get to that point, because the other thing is, unlike like America's Got Talent or American Idol, they don't want everybody that just craps the bed for giggles. They want to have some people that actually get some questions right so that the show progresses faster.
Uh-huh.
So from what I have heard, it's like, you know, they do the screening process and there's several rounds of screenings before they approve you to be one of the TV contestants.
Okay. I didn't end up doing it, and I couldn't remember if I mentioned this, but I almost sent in an application for the $100,000 pyramid.
Yeah, you said you were going to do that.
I never did it, but I wanted to, but I don't know the show that well. I feel like they asked, like, what's your favorite thing about the $100,000 pyramid? Like, I don't know. I do remember when the DOC did the $20 sack pyramid on as an act out on Snoop Dogg's album.
Is that what you're going to say, like, the count? Shape? I thought triangles were cool.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the show, so I kind of felt like I would be doing it and myself a disservice getting on there. But yeah, would you ever try out for a game show?
I think I would.
Which one?
I don't, like, the big ones in my house growing up were Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and then my mom looked at any kind of the trivia one, so then it was either, like, Match Game or the $25,000 pyramid at that time.
I think I would try Wheel of Fortune.
I'm with you.
Shut up. Shut it up. Don't even look at me. Don't even look at me. Save your
you
old
said
joke.
It. I didn't say
Save
anything.
Your old joke.
I'll say this, though. The one that would be the most fun.
It would
fun
be a lot of fun to be on Wheel, though.
Would be Family Feud, but there's no cash in it.
Yeah, you don't get, no. I would like to earn a little
bit.
Yeah,
and then you got to split it five ways. And even like, I guess with the families, if they're on like, if they win five shows, you get a car. The car's worth like $25,000.
Well, that's
so you split it five ways?
That's like on Wheel when you, so if they get a car, they get like a, like sometimes they'll get a whack car. Like they'll get a Ford Fiesta.
Yep.
But then like one guy got a Mercedes and he won like $12,000. Like, bro, you're barely going to be able to cover the taxes on that.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you still have to pay the taxes on it. No, I wouldn't mind the Wheel. I think Hollywood Squares was always a fun
God,
looking.
That's a throwback right there.
Hollywood Squares would
What's
be
the
fun.
Dude in the middle that was.
Would you do?
He was always kind of like yeah. Paul Lind.
Would you do one of those? What was the one on ABC 13 when they always talked about their balls? And it was
what?
What are you talking about?
It was like an obstacle course.
I don't, with
crashing, was it called Crashing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was like an obstacle course.
Like in my house, any game show that was on was going to be on TV. So there was like that. What was that? Press Your Luck, which was Big Bucks, No Whammies.
Wipeout.
No clue.
Oh yeah, I remember Wipeout. I remember Wipeout.
God, that was
I wasn't a big like. I didn't watch it all the time, but I know what you're talking.
That's
about.
That's already 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you believe
I thought
that?
It would be older, honestly.
So why does some of these shows come back or have longevity and others don't? Wheel of Fortune's been around forever. Jeopardy's been around forever. Like you mentioned Hollywood Squares. I had forgot about that. That went away.
Yeah.
Joker's Wild came back with Snoop Dogg
yeah.
as the host. I think it's on like TNT or TBS.
The $100,000 Pyramid is back.
That's back. Match Game is back.
Is it?
Yeah. One of the Baldwins, Alec Baldwin, is the host.
The Newlywed Game I watched.
That was
I don't
funny.
Know why, but yeah. it was because it was a lot. Yeah. I thought it was funny, but I watched the Newlywed Game, but I would never take Nora. She would embarrass me if I took her on the Newlywed
What's
Game.
What's the all-time favorite answer that started making the rounds on social media was when, I think his name was Bob Eubanks, hosted the Newlywed mm-hmm. Game and asked the couple, what's the strangest place you ever made whoopee? And the dude paused and went, that'd be in the butt, Bob. And everybody yeah. just went, what?
Like, oh my God.
Whoop. There's yeah. where you do the record needle scratch. Like, yeah. what? Yeah.
That was a fun show.
And the Dating Game.
I never really got into that one.
No, my mom watched all those things.
People would go on those shows, like actors and comedians would go on there to get a TV credit, just to get on TV.
I've told you there was that comedian show, the Make Me Laugh, where they'd take someone out of the audience and then yeah. the comedians would have to had 60 seconds or whatever to make them laugh.
Yeah.
What was the Chuck Woolery, the We'll Be Back in 2 and 2?
That was the Dating Game.
No, it was Love Connection.
Oh, that was Love Connection. Yeah. Same thing, right? Yeah.
How about all these guys, these game show hosts from back in the day, too? Wink Martindale.
Man.
And Jesus. The Price is Right is still out there.
That's one that won't die. That's Family
crazy.
Feud.
Yeah. Steve Harvey. All your comedians.
He resurrected the Family Feud.
All your comedians are hosting shows now.
That's the talent graveyard.
Family Feud, Price is Right.
Yeah. That is the talent graveyard
for
comedians.
Michael Strahan's no comedian.
No.
All right. We're just rolling through hour number one. Plenty to get to. We know the Astros were at it again last night. We know the Rockets are getting after it tonight. So there's lots on the agenda. But if there's things that you want to get off your chest that you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
The words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Plow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always appreciate you taking us along on the go, wherever you may be in this fair city with ugly weather. If it's not already here, fast approaching. So be careful out there. Good song here. Big fan of this song.
Yeah, that's a good little jammy jam.
Was he Diddy at this point?
I think this was Diddy.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
The man with multiple names that kept changing.
Didn't realize he changed his name in the 90s, huh? He changed yeah. himself to Diddy in the
Puffy,
90s, or was it 2000s?
To Puff, or was it Puff Daddy?
It was Puff
to
Daddy,
Puffy,
yeah.
To Puff. Diddy. Went, or P. Went, Diddy to Diddy.
Yes. Puff Daddy to Puffy to P. Diddy to Diddy.
And then when he was producing, I want to say he went with Sean Combs.
I think so.
That's enough. That's way too much. It's excessive.
It was a lot.
Did y'all see The Matrix last night?
I did see that.
Wow, that was crazy.
That dude got so lucky.
No question. If you didn't see it, Colin McHugh, who pitched a hell of a game for the Astros last night,
yeah, he did.
Had a liner back up the box right at the mound, and he did the craziest Matrix backbending, avoiding the line drive, and it ended up going under his chin, grazing one of his throwing fingers, and getting right like across his sternum without touching him, and turned into a double play.
It unbuttoned his shirt.
Like, did it like
was,
literally?
No, but, I'm just saying it was that close where he was bent backwards at a 90-degree angle, very much Neo in the Matrix dodging bullet style, and the ball goes right across his nipples, probably burned him a little, and ended up being a double play. And he tried to catch it at the same time, but he just whiffed on the catch.
So a couple things. You can read the umpire's lips when he comes out to see if he's okay. And he was like, that was just like The Matrix. And Colin McHugh was still kind of a little shaken up. But
rightfully
then after
so.
The game, he tweeted out, because it ended up grazing, I guess, his index finger. And he said something to the effect of, my index finger was thinking 163 DP. my Adam's apple was thinking blah emoji. Like, he really could have gotten messed up. Yeah. But instead,
you just now
saw it, Nick? Yeah, because I saw your face. I didn't think you had seen it yet.
No, I didn't see it. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me dodging your insults like that.
Yeah. Your fat ass can't dodge anything going fast, sir.
Wow. That was quick.
Yeah. I wish they had like a slow motion version.
They do.
Okay. I tweeted one out.
Oh, okay.
Last night.
AT&T Sportsnet did to that video what we did here internally to Max Kellerman's fart.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, they slowed it down and they made sure you got every angle of it. And it was to see what a close call that was crazy. And his dexterity. I mean, to be agile enough to kind of go and arch your back like that, get out of the way. And that ball's not coming slow.
Mm-mm.
You tweeted it yesterday, Barry?
Last night, yeah. I retweeted somebody's tweet about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this team is pretty amazing right now.
No doubt. 10 in a row. Bregman with another grand slam. I mean, the team is just stacking up grand slams along the way, too. And that was a no-doubter that he hit last night. But it was never in doubt from the get-go, really. I mean, did they go down 1-0 early? Or they were up 1-0 early. But I know after that it was over.
Yeah, no, they were up 3-0. They were up 9-0 because they didn't get the one run until the 9th inning. So yeah, they were. It wasn't even close. And the crazy thing is as many runs as the Astros have been scoring as of late, I was checking the box scores like overall, like team leaders, 17th in the majors in runs scored, with all the runs they're putting up. That's how bad this offense was through like 7 games. When they were 2-5, they were atrocious. They put up all their numbers as of recently, and they're still 17th in runs scored. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Now, 4th in OPS, which tells you a lot about this team and how they can hit, how they can slug, get on base. They're doing it all now. So that's kind of more indicative of what this offense has looked like over the last week or two, that being 4th in the majors at OPS at an 828. Boy, Dodgers have an 893 OPS. Seattle's 857. It's pretty good. Pretty stout.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, again, you're looking at, you know, for the McHugh was in complete control. For everybody that was worried about 3-4-5, and we said because of days off early in the schedule, they really didn't need the 5, so Peacock's in the bullpen. But you know what? Miley's been better than serviceable, and dare I say Keuchel-esque in a lot of ways for a lot cheaper price tag. And Colin McHugh just doesn't miss a beat. Right back in, doing his thing.
You knew these guys were good. You just know how good they could be and how big of a drop-off it would be from the rotation that included Keuchel and McCullers to a rotation without them, adding Miley. Was McHugh going to, you know, be as good? Was Peacock going to be as good? And so far, they've shown themselves well. They lead the majors in quality starts with 12 and 4th in the ERA. So that's the one thing that hasn't wavered throughout the year. Their offense finally picked it up. But, I mean, I saw somebody, though, getting – it's like just as I don't want to get excited – in a negative way when they're 2-5. I don't want to get too high right now, although they're playing well. But somebody was tweeting, and it was a media member, was like, is this the best team in Houston history of any sport?
Oh, stop it.
I was like, what? Bro, like, you're not even out of April yet.
Yeah.
Let's not crown them yet. They haven't won anything. Hell, they just got the division lead back.
Yeah, because I was
because the Mariners lost, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was over on the sports map side, and they were kicking around questions, and they were like, who's got a better chance to win the championship, Astros or Rockets? I was like, well, we had that on the show the other day. So we were talking about that. But that's as far as it should go. You shouldn't start delving into Houston sports history to try and think if this was the best team ever.
Like, if you want to talk about the greatest dynasty, like the best run of a nucleus, like, you know, Olajuwon and his nucleus that they had on that team, the 94-95 championship team. And
it's crazy, though, because it was different. Because one year you had OT, the other year you had Clyde.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true. But I think the role players, for the most part, were the same for that stretch, right? I mean, you had Olajuwon.
Until they made the Barkley trade, Thorpe. And Sam and Ori and Chucky Brown all went in that deal.
Well, that's true.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at, because they started in 93.
Because you're right, it was two almost completely different teams.
Yeah, was it 90? Because they were a higher seed in 94, and then 95, they're the lowest seed to ever win it.
That was the 6th seed. Yeah. Right.
So, but for the most part, you had a lot of the same guys. Again, but Max had a fouling out. Vernon Maxwell, they kicked him off the team in Utah during the playoffs. Kenny was unhappy. But that Elijah Wan group was great, because remember, it started before the championships. You had those great battles with Seattle where they should have won and didn't in 93.
They just could never beat Seattle in the playoffs. That was their Patriots. That was their, I don't know.
I forget who all was there. Someone Seattle, that works for the NBA. I forget the guard that played for the Rockets that lost the ball in the backcourt against Seattle to cost them the 93 series. And to this day, Dream walked in he was in town for something a couple years ago when I was still there. Dream walked in and goes, "He took the ball right from you." I mean, these are the kind of things. And it's like, wow, it's still that vivid in Dream's mind. And Dream was calling play by play what was going on, where they blew it, what happened, how they got screwed. I was like, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's just
that
Dream
might be
being
a
Dream.
Team that I hated growing up more than the Jazz.
The Rockets?
Seattle.
No, Seattle.
Oh, boy.
Was that was Gary Payton, Sean Kemp?
Yeah, and I actually liked
Deadless Payton. Shrimp.
Yeah, I hated
Nate
him.
Nate McMillan?
No good reason.
You had reason to hate him because they came back. Again, 93, the Rockets should have won that series.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I was watching. I was very devastated. Seattle and Utah are probably two teams that I hated.
Absolutely. That's easy because of the rivalries. Sure. Early with Seattle and later with Utah.
That was the two main teams. I hated Set Shot and ass Sam Perkins.
Big Smooth.
He never missed.
Big Smooth.
I hate you, Sam Perkins. You and your stupid set shot, three-point shots that never missed.
I'll tell you the one that sticks in my craw to this day, and that was the Stockton shot that beat him in was it 98?
Oh, yeah.
Because
it had a very Dame Lillard feel to it.
Well, and if you look closely, Malone set the worst illegal screen and just body slammed Clyde out of the way.
Yeah.
And an hour after that game, Charles was still in the – remember at the Summit, they had the little small opening where the teams came out at midcourt. Mm-hmm. He was still in that tunnel shaking his head. Going, man, I can't believe he made that shot. He wouldn't even take his uniform off.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a tough loss to swallow. Yeah. All right, one in the books, two to go. Still plenty more to get to on the big show. If you want to join us, give us a call, 713-780-3776. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. She ain't messing with no broke.
Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.